The gospel is so true and so real that people are giving their lives right now all over the world. People are meeting in secret. They're meeting, you know, in homes. They're meeting online to hear the same gospel, to study the same truth that we're studying today, because it is powerful and it changes lives. And so we're going to talk today about fulfilling the calling. So the first question is, what calling is that? Because we can talk about how it's necessary to fulfill the calling, but we need to first talk about what that calling is. So number one, the call is to relationship with Him. God calls us as His people into relationship with Him. And we, of course, need to remember that Ephesians 2 says that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by grace that we're saved, that we are saved because of what God Almighty has done, because of what Jesus did on the cross. And then He, because of what Jesus did, calls us into relationship with Him. And so in order to go any further with that, we have to first say yes to that relationship. I want to show you a clip of an old movie. This movie is from like the 1970s. And to give you a little background, some of you are like, that's not that old. You know, others are like, what? The 1970s? You know, it just kind of depends on where you are on the spectrum. But anyway, this story, it's a true story. It's the story of David Wilkerson. It's how teen Challenge was born. And I watched this movie as 12, 13 year old girl at a youth event back in the day when we did rockathons, which is a whole nother thing. But anyway, we were doing a fundraiser. We're watching this movie and I was praying about what God would have me to do with my life. And honestly, at the end of this movie, I said, God, that's what I want to do. I really believe that that's where the calling that God placed on my life began. Now, I feel like God knew from the beginning, but His calling is, as we're going to look at today, His calling flows with us. And for me, that moment was, God, that is what I want to do. I want to minister to people like that. I want to see people's lives be changed by the truth of the gospel. And I really felt led to share this because I'm just going to, like I said, give you a background. You're going to see Nikki Cruz went on to become a great evangelist. He was the warlord of one of the biggest gangs in New York City. And a preacher from Pennsylvania saw in the paper that a bunch of gang members were on trial for murder, and God began to speak to him, and he felt to leave Pennsylvania as a suburban, you know, country, small town preacher, move to New York City and reach out to the gang members. Now, this is the amazing thing about how God calls people, is that we think, right, but I am not that person. I cannot minister to those types of people. And God spoke to me one time and reminded me, Jesus ministered to all different types of people. And so God sent David Wilkerson, and he began reaching out to these gangs, and this Nikki Cruz in particular. At one point, Nikki Cruz looked at David Wilkerson, and he said, I'm going to cut you into 1,000 pieces. And David Wilkerson looked right back at him and has said, and if you do, every piece will still tell you that Jesus loves you. And God began to deal with Nikki Cruz. And in this moment that you're going to see, God Almighty, just through the witness of David Wilkerson, through Jesus Christ drawing him, you're going to see the change that happens in his life. And it went on. He served the Lord the rest of his life. And actually, I think he's still living, but became a great evangelist and led many, many people, a preacher, to serve the Lord. So after that, Nikki Cruz looks at David Wilkerson and he says, I'm going to give my life to God, Davy. And he does. He trades his knife for a Bible and he surrenders his life to the Lord Jesus. And he lives the rest of his life with all of the struggles, with, I'm sure, all of the drama and the issues that he faced because of the life that he grew up in and because of what he was saved out of. But listen, this is what we have to remember as Christians. God is big enough to save us. He is the one who calls us. We don't just wake up one day and go, I think I'm going to try the Christianity thing. If you do it that way and you try it and see if you like it and see how it works for you, and then you go through persecution and you have to get up on Sunday when you didn't have to do that before, and now they want you to give your money to the church, then you just end up going, man, this isn't worth it. But when you get a revelation of who Almighty God is, and you realize that He is calling you to surrender your life to live out His calling, then everything else becomes second. And you're willing to make the necessary sacrifices to live for Him. And that is the high calling that we as Christians are called to. That is what God calls us to. Ephesians 1, verses 13 through 14. And this was Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus. And he sent this letter. And we're going to read verses 13 and 14. So you could stand for these verses and then you could sit back down. It says, in Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So you can be seated. But I just want to focus on the beginning of this. In whom you also trusted. We're going to be talking about that word trust, because it is a pivotal, vital part of the Christian life, that we trust Jesus, that we entrust our life to Him, but then that we trust Him. Proverbs 3, I have lived in this verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Because if you live the Christian life based on what you understand and what you agree with and what makes sense to you, you won't always understand spiritual things. Many times things in the Christian life are upside down. Like God, and so we have to live trusting that He is real and that He is true. But it says, in Him you also trusted. What's amazing is that this truth is still real and true for us today. This was couple thousand years ago that this was written. But God is still speaking through us almost 2,000 years. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel, which means good news of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Because when we believe, when we accept, like Nikki Cruz, we don't always understand it all to begin with. We accept that God is drawing us and that we want to surrender to Him. And then it's a growing process. But the Holy Spirit then comes into our lives. And that's why we all of a sudden feel differently about things that we felt fine about before, because the Holy Spirit begins to deal. He is there to help us, to strengthen us. And so the calling, number one, the call is to relationship with Him. Number two, the call is to the life that He is calling you to live. This is important because as Christians, we don't just say to God, come to the altar or in our bedroom or in a church or wherever it is, and say to God, God, I surrender my life to you, and then take it back and live it how we want to. When we surrender, we say to God, God, I want to live the life that you're calling me to live. Now, the amazing, awesome thing is that might mean leaving Pennsylvania to go to New York City to minister to gangs, or it might mean getting up and going to the job that you work at every day, because God calls different people to different things. My brother-in-law was called to open a Realty Pros. That is, right now he is in the center of the will of God at Realty Pros. Not because he is a preacher, but because that is where God is calling him to be. You know, my sister is called to lead worship here at the church. Like, whatever we do, whether we do it, you know, as our job, whether we do it as a ministry, as we submit ourselves to God, and we, the rest of Proverbs 3:6 says, if we acknowledge Him in all our ways. The word ways means course of life or mode of action. Whether you're in high school or middle school, whether you work a job, whether you're retired, whether you're at home or gone, whatever it is, as we submit our life to God and say, God, what is this life to look for me, look like for me right now? What are you calling me to do? And He will show us. It affects everything, how we live, where we live, what we do. I want to read you these magazines we have out front. They are free. I would challenge you. We have them usually every month. They're called Worldview. And it will really give you a different perspective. Like if you need to get outside of yourself and realize what's going on in the world, especially when it comes to Christianity, pick up one of these magazines and read it. But I just really felt led to share. This is a guy that is a missionary, him and his wife. And he said, I was a mechanic. My birth father had been a welder, and I had never even thought our kind of people could be missionaries, Abe says. I thought missionaries practically hovered above the ground. They were so holy. And this first missionary I had ever met was once a mechanic. He said, at the Holy Spirit's prompting, Abe had earlier concluded his service in the Air Force in South Carolina and had moved to Tennessee. Now, the Holy Spirit pointed that out to me because, see, right there at the Holy Spirit's prompting, he concluded his service in the Air Force and moved to Tennessee. The Christian life is about consistently saying to God, God, what do you want me to do? What is my life to look like? It's not about me just making my plans and saying, God, will you bless these plans that I've already made? A lot of times that's what we want to do. I'm going to go to this college. I'm going to take these classes. I'm going to whatever. God, will you bless it? It is, God, what do you want me to do? Now, I will admit to you, because this is important to understand, often the Christian life is like a dance. You're going, is this what you want me to do? Okay, God, I'm going to do this because I feel like this is what, and you're not telling me not to do this. So I'm believing that you are leading and directing me. And God will. The Bible says if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our path. Psalm 23 says, you lead me in paths of righteousness for your namesake. I live in that verse that God, I am trusting that you are leading me. And that if I am missing it, that you're going to show me. So we, if our lives are surrendered and we really want to follow God, he can get through to us. My son was headed to Kennesaw State University. That was his plan until March. And we had already sent in FAFSA stuff. He had already sent in applications. And he went to youth convention and God began to stir. And he was remembered, oh, wait, I made a commitment that I would do 1 year of ministry school. And then God began to speak to him about going to CLC. God has completely turned, and now he's going to Columbus Leadership College to become licensed as a minister and also work towards his degree. But God will lead us. He will show us if our ears and our hearts are open. So he continues, at the time of the missionary visit, because this man is talking about when a missionary visited his church, he was supporting himself as a construction worker. Through a series of providential influences, Abe, this missionary, used his benefits from the GI Bill to graduate from a Christian college at age 30. By now, married to Jill, he was fully committed to the same missions calling she had sensed for many years. After graduation, they joined Kelly, the mechanic, and his wife Cindy in Cambodia and served there as missionary associates. God continued to lead Jill and me, Abe tells me. We were involved in a rural ministry in Cambodia, then in an urban youth ministry in Bangkok, Thailand, and after 2 years, we returned to Tennessee as youth pastors. So that's how God led them in the life that he was calling. He said later in the article, whenever I prayed about my concerns, God just kept saying, trust me. But isn't trust the ultimate key for serving God in any capacity? It is. It's about trust. It's about trusting that God is leading us. It's about trusting that God can get through to us. It's about trusting that he can provide what he's telling us to do and where he's telling us to go. Wherever God's calling leads you, the magazine continues, your trust in him will carry you there, and your obedience will become an avenue of blessing on many lives. That's what happened with Nikki Cruz and with David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson was obedient. He didn't know what it was supposed to look like. He got there and he didn't know how he was going to minister to these teenagers and if they were even going to be willing to talk to him. But as he stepped out and as he was obedient to what God was calling him to do, God began to stir. And God's the one who does the work anyway, as we're obedient to him. So, number one, the call is to relationship with him. Number two, the call is to the life that he's calling you to live. The way that you do that is every day you surrender afresh and anew to him. You say to God, God, I want to live for you today. I want to do your will. I want to say the things that you would have me to say. I want to go the places you would have me to go. And as I go to work or to school or to, as I'm at home, as I make phone calls or go to the grocery shopping or change diapers or whatever it is that I do, God, I want to do your will. And if you will show me, my ears are open. I want to do what you're calling me to do. Many times the life that he's calling us to live does not feel or look spiritual all the time. That's okay. You know, my dad cut grass, putting himself through college, and my mom worked sometimes nights in a hospital to help him go put himself through college. So God will lead us. He will work. He will show us what it looks like. Number three, the high calling. It is a high calling. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And I want to read this in the King James Version. It's a verse maybe some of you are familiar with. And Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus still. And he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That word press means, that's Philippians. It's Philippians 3:14. I put Ephesians, but it's Philippians. It says, I press. That word press is an ongoing word in the Greek. It means to continually push, to continually press. I continually press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15 through 21, I want to read in the New King James Version. It says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. I love this verse because it says, therefore, as many as mature, we are to have this mind. We are to be pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. But this is so encouraging to me, the second part of this verse. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. God is so merciful that he will reveal to us when we get off course, when our attitude is wrong, when we're making wrong decisions. He will show us. He will reveal it to us. It might be through a message that you hear. It might be through somebody speaking to you. It might be through the word that you're studying and that you're reading. A lot of people don't hear God's voice because they don't give themselves an opportunity. They don't give him an opportunity to speak. One of the best ways to hear God's voice is to read the Bible. Because if you will read the Bible, then you allow him to speak to you. And then also the Holy Spirit then can bring those things back to you when you need it. So if you're not hearing the voice of God, number one, are you reading the Bible? Number two, are you being quiet and allowing him to speak? Because, you know, although most of us know how to talk at the same time as somebody else is talking, you don't accomplish very much if you're both talking at the same time. You have to stop and be quiet in order to actually hear what the other person is saying. The same is true in our relationship with God. We need to read and then we need to sit and say, God, is there something you're saying to me? Is there something that you want to reveal to me? I will challenge you. God shows me books to read. I asked God years ago, God, if there are things that I need to read, would you just show it to me? And I will just pass by a book and notice the title and pick it up. A couple of weeks ago, I picked up a book that was in our office. I opened it and it was exactly the topic that I was speaking about. I know that that was just God confirming to me that I was going in the right direction, that I was preaching the message that he wanted me to preach. But God will do things like that. But we have to give him the opportunity. We have to open up more of our lives and our world to him. We have to listen to him and allow him to speak to us. And we have to involve trust in that. God, I trust that you are going to speak to me. So it continues. Verse 16 of Philippians 3. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. So he's telling the people, pay attention to those who are walking. Listen, it is a good thing to learn from other people. That's why part of the reason why being in the church, if you're challenged by what somebody else is saying or doing, that's a good thing. Sometimes we need to be challenged. We need to go, I'm not hearing God like that. I want to hear God like that. And then it challenges us to pursue God more. That's a good thing. He said, join in following my example and note those who walk. Then he continues, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is destruction, or whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Listen, it is so easy to get our focus off of the spiritual and onto the physical. It's easy for all of us to just get so busy doing life that we forget what we're doing and what really matters. But that's why coming to church and reading the word and going to Bible studies and fellowshipping with people is so important, because sometimes it jars us back. It jogs, it causes us to go, what am I doing? My focus is off. I need to get my perspective right. That's a good thing. And so here he is warning the people, their mind on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Joe, is that movie going to work? Will you get that ready? Okay. I want to show you a clip. This is a clip from, I usually don't show two clips, but I felt led to show this. It's from the movie The Apostle Paul. And it's actually the part that he's sharing. I've never read it in the Bible, but it was very encouraging. So, you know, sometimes these historical movies, they have to add in, you know, other things. But I just want to point out that it is a good reminder of the fact that our citizenship is in heaven. As Christians, we are living more than for just collecting stuff and looking nice and trying to keep our house clean and trying to, you know, maintain our position in life. And it is so much more than that. And we have to keep that in mind and keep that in focus. Paul was speaking to Timothy. And he wrote this letter to Timothy, and he said, encouraging him, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. My challenge to you today is to fulfill the ministry that God is giving you. Fulfill the calling that he's placed on your life. All of us are not called to be missionaries to go overseas. Everybody is not called to work full-time in the church. Some people are called to mechanics or to construction or to teaching or to, you know, multiple different things. But God can use us to accomplish great things in his kingdom if we will fulfill the calling where we are. If we will be submitted to God in your schools, if you will say to God, God, just let me be light for you while I'm at school. You have to go anyway, so you might as well, you know, accomplish something while you're there, you know? I mean, if you will be who God is calling you when you go to Camden County High School or Camden County Middle School or, you know, whatever, to college, you know, we need to be light and to be fulfilling the ministry that God is giving us. And so I just challenge you to do that. Is that movie going to work, Joe? Well, I'll just tell you about it. So I just want to tell you this one part. Paul is talking to the Roman centurion, and he asks the Roman centurion, have you ever been sailing? And he says, yeah. And he says, you know, when you're on the boat and there's this vast expanse of sea, he said, if you reach down in the water, you cup your hand and you gather up some of the water in your hand, immediately it begins to flow out of your hand and back, you know, into the sea. And he said, our life is like that water. He said that we try to hold on to. He said, but as Christians, we see that eternity is like the whole sea in front of us. Maybe it's going to work now. It's on that back screen. That's why I keep thinking it's going to work. But and he says, Christians see life for eternity. They see that this whole expanse of sea is in front of them. And as Christians, we have to maintain that our citizenship is in heaven. We have to see that our lives are more than just getting a paycheck so that we can pay our bills, so that we can keep doing what we're doing, so that we can, you know, get up every day and go to bed every day. It is about fulfilling the calling that God Himself has put before us. And it is an exciting thing. It might not always look exciting or spiritual, but it, if you will just submit to God every day, I promise you, He wants to lead you. And you can stand before Him and know that you are going to be rewarded based on your obedience to Him, wherever you were, whatever you were doing. And so I'm just going to ask them to play an I Worship. And as this I Worship plays, I just want to challenge you. Ask God to show you, are you fulfilling the calling to the degree that He would have you to right now in your life? Are you living every day saying, God, my life is yours. I do it to do your will. I want to follow you. And if you're not, it is a good time to say to God, God, you are my first priority. And will you help me? And will you show me how to do that? And so if you have never really surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, like we saw Nikki Cruz do, that's where it begins. If you have been living for yourself, focused on yourself, I would challenge you to refocus your attention on God and allow Him to become your focus, to remind you why you do what you do. And if you need prayer for anything else, for wisdom, for healing, we'd be glad to pray with you.